أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتحدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين العبد المعيد الرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Our discussion now since Monday has been revolving around the glorious Quran. We have, as was announced, we've been looking at various random verses from the Quran, attempting to understand them to a certain level, to bridge this gap between us and the Quran, to perhaps introduce discussions and topics that perhaps we're not aware of in the Quran, and perhaps shed some light that this Quran is not just a book of fiqh and laws, it's a book of complete guidance and hidayat. Usually we are talking about one or two verses. Today I have a series of verses for you that Mustafa, my AV guru, will go through with me inshallah. And we'll begin by first creating the scene of when these verses were revealed. These are the verses of the story of the Battle of Uhud. And as many of you know, the second battle in Medina between the Muslims and the Kuffar was one that didn't bode well for the Muslims. They were, of course, defeated. And the story is very clear to all of you. Alhamdulillah, you know full well that these are people, these Muslims who initially, of course, were victorious, but because people had left their posts assigned by the Holy Prophet, the enemy was able to go around the mountain of Uhud and ambush the Muslims from behind, thus causing them to flee. Now I want you to now picture the idea that the Quraysh and the enemies of Islam had just defeated the Muslim army and now are making their way back to Mecca. And halfway on their way back to Mecca, history says that the Quraysh stopped and there was a discussion amongst them. That look, we just finished defeating the Muslims in Medina. If we go back and finish them off completely, then maybe perhaps we won't have to deal with them every single day bothering us in Medina. They right now are weak, they're vulnerable, they're on the verge of complete and absolute annihilation. Let's go back, and they're already half defeated. Let's go back and completely finish them off. Now the Holy Prophets, he had his own form of secret service back then. And he had his own FBI and CIA back then. And he got news that these Kuffar and the Quraysh were now turning back towards him to finish the job off. Now I want you to picture this for a moment. You know, we've been trying to create imagery for all of you every single day. Let me do this as well today. This is a defeated army, a wounded, the Muslims, a wounded army. Morally, they're defeated. Physically, they're tired. Physically, they're wounded. Morally, they're also wounded as well. Because in the Battle of Badr, of course, they were victorious. So they assume that they will again be victorious in Uhud. Now, I want you to imagine these are people who are tired, who are scarred, who are bloodied, and who are completely down on themselves. The Prophet of Allah says to them, let's rise up, let's intercept the Quraysh before they even get to Mecca. Now these are people who just fought a very bloody war. People who are, like I said before, tired. If I get that point across, then that's great. Tired, defeated, extremely worn out, physically strained. And now the Prophet says, let's get up and let's fight again for round number two. And this is where these verses begin. And what I'll do is I'll do my best to create a metaphor between, yes, the historical story here of the next various four or five verses, and then what we're dealing with today as well as Muslims here in the West. To see what is it that the Quran talks about, and how should we relate those verses to us as well. Before that, one salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Now, there were some people who said labaik to the Prophet's call to go back for round number two. Then there were some people who didn't, said, look, I'm tired, I can't do it. Not everybody got up and followed the Holy Prophet's way, but there were some people who did that. And this is where now, initially in the very first verse, the Quran talks about those people that said labaik to the Prophet's call. That said, if you want us to go back for round number two, whatever you want us to do, no problem. And these are people who were just tired, scarred, bloody, very, very, very worn out. And the Quran talks about them. The Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this is the first verse on the screen there. الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَسَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ. These are people, of course, who responded to the call of Allah and the Prophet after the wound had already befallen upon them. Qar and Jar are two different ways to describe wounds in Arabic, in the Arabic language. Jarh with the jeem is a very simple wound. Qar with the qaf that you see in the verse in the Arabic is a deep wound. Sometimes that penetrates the skin and hits the bone sometimes. So now the Quran is picturing this group that's now picked itself up, that's been injured by the core. It says qar, not jar, meaning very deep rooted injuries, and said, if you want us to go back and fight the kuffar again, then in this state, in this halat, in this condition, Ya Rasulullah, we'll say labbaik to you, no problem. We won't complain about our state, we won't say that I'm injured, we won't say that I'm tired, we won't run away from the actual maidan of the war. No, if you want us to go back, we'll go back. But the way the Quran describes those who said labbaik to the Holy Prophet, these were people who were deeply wounded physically in the acts of war. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقُوا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. These are people who for others you'll do good. The people who, of course, are God-weary, and they have a beautiful reward waiting for them. Many times you and I, you know, we're not talking about us being in a physical war. But there's no doubt, you know, as the Rahba calls it, it's a jangin narmin, as they call it in the West. It's a soft war, a war of the intellect, a war of beliefs, a war of a school of thoughts. Well, yes, they don't attack you physically, but they attack your mindsets. They attack your school of thought. They attack your aqidah and your belief. And where somebody now is being targeted physically, our youth, us as well, we're being targeted when it comes to our faith and our iman. If there is individuals who are worn out physically on the East, then we also are worn out here mentally in the West. To fight this fight every single day is very, very difficult. But yet, Allah and the deen requires us every single day to get up every single morning and go and fight that fight again. And the same way the Quran talks about those who said labbaik to the Prophet being people who had the qarh, the deep wound, is a lesson for you and I as well. Now, who are these people? Next verse, please, Mustafa. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. These are people. Who are these people? The people who would go with the Holy Prophet. The other guys who were not going with the Holy Prophet, they would grab them and say, look, these guys are the Quraysh. They're very powerful. If I were you, I wouldn't go there. In fact, I'd fear them. No, they're confident now. They just won a war against us. You guys are half broken. You're limping towards the enemy. If I were you, I'd be very fearful of them. And so sometimes people around the Muslims were the Muslims themselves invoking fear of the enemy inside of them. Saying, you know, are you okay that you're going to go and actually fight the fight? The Quran says these are people who not only didn't listen to the words of his fellow Muslims saying, fear the enemy, but instead what? فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Their iman increased. Their faith increased. The more that the people around them are saying, fear the enemy, fear the enemy, fear the enemy, these people are increasing their iman, increasing their certainty, having more yaqeen in the deen, to the point where they say, وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. They might have what they want to have. They might be a very powerful enemy. But for me, Allah as a wakil, as a trust, is enough for me. I have Allah, I have everything. I don't need to be scared. I don't need to worry about traveling in the airport. I don't need to be worried about my green card. No. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. And sometimes the people who invoke this fear inside of us are people from our community, people from our masjid, people within our family. Like I said a few nights ago, you know, when this travel ban began way back in January, February, and I was traveling in the U.S. a lot, many of my own people, my inner circle, will tell me that, you know, maybe you shouldn't be going to the U.S. for tabligh. You know, this is Trump now. It's not Obama. There's a big difference. And, you know, nothing can go past them. I go, look, the worst case scenario, I end up in Guantanamo as a hafiz of the Quran. What's the worst case? Inshallah. But this fear that sometimes we have isn't from the enemy. Sometimes we ourselves scare each other, thinking, you know what, don't make your beard too thick. Don't tie your hijab too tight. You know, don't be individuals who wear certain libas. Do your best to blend into society. You know, don't scream out that I'm Muslim. These people are very powerful. Be very scared. Those people who said labbaik to the Holy Prophet, these are people who what? Increased their iman. And said, look, they might have what who they have. I have Allah on my side. 174. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Next verse, please. So they move towards the enemy. Now I want you to imagine the enemy and their standpoint. They're moving towards Mecca, about to finish off an enemy that they just were half finished. And now they see this army coming towards them, stumbling and bumbling and wounded and fearless. This is why Allah says, فَانْقَلِبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They went and they came back with the blessings of Allah. What happened? Anything happen? The Quran says, وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءًا. They went to the point where nothing happened to them. No evil touched them. No arrow touched them. No attack happened. The Quraysh saw that these people are crazy coming at us, looking to fight us, even though they're half broken. Let's just enjoy the victory, turn back, and deal with them on another day. If they don't fear death, then how can they fear us? It reminds me, you know, of the summer of 2006 and the war between Israel and southern Lebanon. And when the media would interview these Israeli troops, They would say that we would bomb a building in the south of Lebanon, and from that building, from the rubble of that building, there'd be missiles towards Tel Aviv. And we would go there and we would see, is there anyone there? And we'd see these soldiers who were obviously struck by our missile, our shot, and yet they were still moving towards us, looking to fight. This is what the people of Ahud, Allah is describing. وَاتَّبِعُوا رِزْوَانُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ بُفَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ. These are people who followed nothing but the pleasure of Allah. And Allah, of course, is the Lord of mighty grace. His fadl, His grace is azim. There's no doubt about it. So why the fear? Why all this talk about scared, scared, scared? The very next ayat says it's nothing but إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. This fear comes from shaitan. Now sometimes shaitan has a jismi, a physical look to it. Sometimes shaitan is inside of our heads. Sometimes we have this inferior complex. You know, they say in Urdu, ahsas-e kamtariya, as they say, where we believe that, look, you know, we're in the minority, we shouldn't be here, let's just kind of stay quiet. You know, the moment that things get a little bit busy, you know, let's change the way we look, let's change the way we talk and the way we dress. And this apologetic nature is nothing but from shaitan. All he wants you to do is what? يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءُ. He wants you to fear his awliya. If Allah has awliya in this world, shaitan has awliya as well. If Allah has agents working for him, then shaitan has agents working for him. And all shaitan wants for you to do is not fear shaitan, but fear his agents. That's all they want you to do. Live in fear. You live in fear, we can do whatever you want with you. We can manipulate you, we can threaten you, we can cause you to even question your very own identity. That's what fear does. Allah says, look, don't worry about their fear. فَلَا تَخَافُهُمْ. Don't fear them. You want to fear somebody? وَخَافُونِي. Fear me. Fear me. إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you claim to be somebody who's a mu'min, then the fear belongs to me, not to the awliya of shaitan. صَلُّوا عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلِ مُحَمَّدْ. And this is the very next ayat is a very beautiful one. It's a message, and this is really the crux of our discussion today. And I want all of us to understand this first line of this ayat number 176 of Surah Ali Imran, where Allah says, now after all of this, after the story of Ahud, they went to face the Quraysh, they came back untouched, those who were causing this fear. Allah says, look, they're the agents of shaitan, don't worry about them, fear me. And then he says this, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُصَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, do not let those who are basura'at going into the hellfire to create huzn inside of you. The transition is what? Do not grieve. I have something else. And let not those grieve you who fall into unbelief hastily. The verb being used there is what? Yusari'una. Sura'at is used in Urdu, Farsi, and Arabic to mean speed. And here Allah is painting a beautiful picture that these are people who are bound for the hellfire. Their aqibat is nothing but shar and evil. And you're going to allow these individuals to create this grief and fear inside of you. You know, we talked the very first line, ma qadr Allahu, right? We haven't given Allah his qadr. It's almost as if Allah is saying, look, you almost forget that I'm not in the equation. You've removed me from the equation altogether. You've allowed these people whose aqibat, whose akhirat is nothing but the hellfire, to have such an impact on you, where there's huzn now inside of you. There's khawf now inside of you. There's grief and fear now inside of you. He says, don't let those people who by surat are going down this hill into the pits of the hellfire with a lot of speed. And you are letting these people who are bound for the hellfire to affect you so much you have huzn and khawf. Allah says, don't do that. And then he has a very beautiful proclamation. This is where Allah, you know, he says, look, don't forget, right? I'm the man. I'm the one who created this entire universe. Okay? These people might be able to affect you, But innahum lan yudhurru Allaha shay'a. Then Allah says, look, they can't touch me. They can't bring harm to me. They can't do anything for you. Now, right away, someone like me will look at this and say, look, Allah, I know they can't touch you, but they could put me in jail, right? They can't touch you, but I'll end up in Gitmo for sure, right? They can't touch you, but they'll deny me entry into the U.S. They'll take my passport, right? They'll ask me 2 hours of questioning. They'll embarrass me, but they won't touch you. That's fine. I'm not worried about you, Allah. You're good where you are. I'm worried about me right now. But Allah is saying something else. Allah is saying, look, the moment that you give me my qadr and you understand that I am your only waqeel and only proof and only defense, because they can't touch me, they can't touch you either. Meaning, if Allah is saying, if you want to look for a shield, a defense system, something, a bomb shelter, to protect yourself from this, all this huzn and grief, then you know they can't touch me. Then let me be your shield. They can't touch the shield. They can't touch the people behind the shield either. So Allah is not saying anything about him. He's reminding all of us that when you decide to make me your wakil, and your defender and your protector, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. At that moment then, they can't touch me, they can't touch you either. And then he goes on to say, yuridullahu alla yaj'ala lahum haddan fil akhirah. These are people, Allah intends that he should not give them any portion of the hereafter. Walahum adabun adheem. They have a punishment that is adheem waiting for them. And then he talks about those individuals. Very next ayat, please. Two more ayats, inshallah, and we're almost done. Next ayat, please, Mustafa. He talks about those people. What about those people who didn't join the Holy Prophet? What about those people that were putting whispers in the ears of their fellow Muslims that I wouldn't go towards the Quraysh, they'll destroy you. Fear them, fear them, fear them. You're a weak entity. They're a strong enemy. Allah says, for those people who have done what? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوا الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. For those people who have sold their iman for their kufr. Have left their iman for their kufr. Who are they? They're also people. لَنْ يَذُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ. The enemy can't touch me. Sometimes those people who create waswasa around you, they also can't touch me as well. These are people who have sold their iman out for a little bit of this world's fear, a little bit of this world's grief. You know, we talk about history like it can't happen again. We talk about, let's say, for example, the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We talk about the people of Kufa. We know the history about the people of Kufa. 18,000 letters, 12,000 letters, 25,000 letters, whatever that number is. One by one, saying, begging Imam Hussein, please come, please come, please come. And when he sends a Muslim, and they again increase the amount that does labbaik to 30,000, Sheikh Abbas Qumi narrates, 30,000 people saying labbaik. And when Yazid asked Ubaidullah to come and replace Numan ibn Bashir inside Kufa, and all he did was create a little bit of fear inside of them. That's all he did. Didn't attack them physically. In fact, he entered Kufa. Ubaidullah entered Kufa without any army, without any swords. And when the people around him would say, are you crazy? You're entering 30,000 of those who are ready to give bay'at to Hussein. You're going to go without an entourage, without an army? I'm going to go by myself, he says, enter Kufa, and you watch what I do to them. Not one weapon, not one companion. He enters Kufa to the point, Allahu Akbar, history is ajib, to the point where when people see this horseman riding into Kufa, they actually believe it to be Imam Hussein. They would gather on the outskirts of Kufa, ready to do istiqbal and welcome Imam Hussein. When they saw that this man is nothing but Ubaidullah, a person sent by Yazid, they turned around and walked away. If 10 guys took him off the horse and killed him, then Karbala wouldn't happen. 10 guys of the 30,000. And then that's when he realized that I'm dealing with a very weak, timid, intimidated group. A little bit of the fear of a loss of job, hunger, thirst. And he would attack their women and their wives and their mothers. Go tell your husbands and sons to leave Hussein's side. To the point where not one person was behind Muslim. Ghareeb Kufa is a beautiful laqab of Musa, Muslim, and very accurate. It got to the point where 30,000 bay'at to Muslim running the streets of Kufa looking for a glass of water. No attack on the Muslims. No swords drawn. A little bit of fear, that's all it takes sometimes. These are people that we have to understand that God forbid that history repeats itself before the Imam of our time arrives. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now these next two verses are very, very important. Many of you will ask, then why is it that Allah allows these people to do what they want to do? It's a very, very important discussion. Next ayat, please, 178. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلَى لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Don't let those who disbelieve think that their granting of respite is better for them. Meaning what? That look, you know, we're good. We're superpower. We're very rich Saudi oil. We're doing very well. And because we're doing so well, Allah must love us. We must be on the right path. Otherwise, Allah will make our life miserable, right? You know, gold medals to Trump, $30 billion of gifts to Trump and his wife and his children, right? All this money to throw at Trump, right? The streets were lined. This is the same government that says it's bid'at to celebrate the birthday of the Holy Prophet. But Trump's arrival, billboards and buildings lit up and armies and God knows what else, dancing swords and the whole nine, mashallah. These are people who might believe that because Allah has given us this, we must be on haq. Allah says, don't let those people fool you. Don't be fooled by the little bit of respite that I've given the kuffar. I've given that respite. He goes on to say what? إِنَّمَا نُمْلَى لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُمْ إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُحِينٌ. It's such an important concept in the Quran. Sometimes Allah gives the kuffar all the necessary tools to let them believe that I'm on the right path, to take those tools and dig their grave deeper. The example I'll give you is a very simple one. And that is of a dog, a rabid dog, that all it ever does is bites everybody it sees. And the owner has two choices when it takes it out for a walk. The owner can either put a 1 foot leash on him or 100 foot leash on him. The 1 foot leash, the dog knows. The moment I go, he gets snatched back. After a while, he won't try. The 100 foot leash, however, is something different. It takes 99 feet for the dog to realize that I have something around my neck. So for 99 feet, he's going to be bolting at anybody he sees with a lot of speed until he hits that 100th foot. And then he's yanked back so hard, it's 99 feet of momentum pulled back. Allah gives the kuffar 100 feet of a leash. Says, go. Enjoy this dunya. And believe that I am on your side. The moment it comes time for me to pull, that pull is going to be so hard for you that you feel it from the tip of your head all the way down to your toes. Do not be fooled to think that individuals who deny Allah are successful, so we must be in the wrong, they must be in the right. No, it's a 100-foot leash attached to them. Let's wait it out, inshallah, that is approaching to 99-foot, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And then our last verse, 179, where Allah now addresses you and I. And He says very beautifully, in a loving, compassionate way, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظَرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah says that on no account will Allah ever leave the believer's side. He won't leave you alone. He won't let you fight this battle by yourself. He has your back. He's right behind you. He's right beside you. He's defending you every step of the way. Hatta, until when? Until it's very clear to the believers what is right and what is wrong. Who is evil and who is just. We still have youth today that call me and ask me, I don't understand what's happening in Syria. Why is Iran supporting a dictator like Assad? I still don't understand this idea of Iraq, for example. Why was Iraq moved from the travel ban, for example? I don't think that, you know, this, I don't think Iran is making good decisions, for example. I don't think the Iraqi government is making good decisions, for example. What is Ayatollah Sistani doing in Najaf right now? Why is he so quiet? And all these things are an act of confusion for many of our youth because they're simple victims of media or fake news, as it's called sometimes. Because the media has their agenda. And so what's not clear to them is who is khabith and who is tayyib. Who is pure and who is impure. And Allah says, I will not leave your side until it's very clear to you who is on the right of haq and who is on the right of batil. When that's clear to you, then you're good to go. Until then, I'll make it clear bit by bit. I'll give you awakening, awareness, ma'arifat, moments of a spark to you for you to understand, oh, now I understand why this is happening. Now I get why this is happening. You know, there are some individuals, you talk to them, they have such a clear picture of what's happening in the world right now. It's very clear to them. Nothing is groggy, nothing's out of focus, everything is very clear. They place exactly where people should be placed, and they do it very confidently. Where you and I get a little bit confused, like, no, don't be confused, let me hear, come here, I'll explain to you what's going on in Syria. I'll tell you what Assad is for Iran. I'll tell you why Russia and China are such big players nowadays. I'll tell you why Trump made his first visit to Saudi. I'll tell you why he was at the Vatican beside the Pope. These are all huge things to understand right now. And there are people who are very clear. Because there are moments where Allah says that when you have taqwa, another verse of the Quran that's not up there. It says, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. The one who has piety and taqwa, Allah gives them a furqan. What's a furqan? A distinction. The ability to understand between right and wrong. The condition is, taqwa has to come from you. Piety has to come from you. This entire past four or five verses, we're talking about these people that got up and went towards the Prophet's call, even though they were half broken. But the Prophet says so, لَبَيْكْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Allah says, I won't leave your side. One day, someday, you'll wake up and everything will be very clear to you. And once everything is clear to you, then you'll know what you need to do at this moment. The biggest question is, what do we do sitting in the West about all that's happening right now in the East? A lot of our youth ask that question. And Allah one day will make that very clear, provided that you follow the path of those who said labbaik to the Holy Prophet. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now the rest of this last verse is on a different topic. We end there for these verses. Just a few points in terms of conclusion, inshallah, to come to some sort of a natija. Before that, one salat ala Muhammad wa Muhammad, please. The Quran is sometimes very open and very clear in terms of their message. The beauty of the Quran is that not only does it bayan and narrate history of various individuals, but we do know and we should know, and we do know, alhamdulillah, that its message is universal. It's for all people. If we believe that these verses were just for the people of Ahad, then we've reduced the miracle of the Prophet to only his era. But we know enough to know that he is the only Prophet that had a miracle that will last ila yawmil qiyamah, until the day of judgment. Meaning what? That the Quran will be always relevant until the very last day of this world. So these verses, sometimes it's amazing how certain verses are as if they were revealed yesterday for us today. And this collection of verses is like that for us. We can absolutely mirror ourselves to those of the people of Ahad, those who left their post, those who allowed their shahwa to be ghalib, to be hakim, to be commander over what the Prophet says. Like I mentioned yesterday, courage, true courage, is to deny what you want and to follow the path of what Islam wants. Now sometimes that's one path, alhamdulillah. Sometimes they are two opposite paths. And the true courageous one is the one who chooses the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that during this month of Ramadan, and the verse that I recite in the khutbah every single day, It describes the Quran itself to be a furqan as well. الَّذِي أُنزَلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. Not only guides the masses, it makes things very clear to them between right and between wrong. So the closer we get to the Quran, the more Allah will open our chishme basirat, the eyes of the insight inside of us, to truly understand what's happening right now in the world. We ask you, Allah, to give us that tawfiq, inspire us to understand what's happening right now in the world, inshallah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to forgive our sins and accept our amal. And finally, Allah, we ask you, there are forces out there that are causing immense pain for our brothers in Yemen and Bahrain, for individuals in Myanmar, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Kashmir. There are many lives being killed innocently all over the world. We ask you, Allah, to weaken those hands of the enemies of Islam, inshallah, and to strengthen those mustaza'afin, those jaban, those shabab, those young who are right now protecting the maqam al-muqaddasat all over the world. We ask you, Allah, strengthen them. Give them that tawfiq. Inspire them and protect them, inshallah. And finally, Allah, we always have one dua. All this dhulm, all this terror, all this oppression, we know one solution is right now in ghaybat. We ask you, Allah, in our lifetime, for us to witness the zuhur of Imam al-Zamana, inshallah, and for us to be beside him during his mission. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.